Amen. Amen, amen. You know, one of the things I love most about that last song that we sing is that harmonica. And I truly miss that part of my dad. My dad could play the harmonica. And when we went through his things, that was the one thing I made sure I got, was his harmonica. Amen. Today is February 19th, 2012, Sunday. Today's service is brought to you once again by the Holy Spirit. You know, I will admit, and God knows this, I mentioned it to Danny this morning, I've not been in the Word as much as I had in the past. But you know what? It shows me just how much God has moved in my life, because even though I may not sit with my Bible on my couch and read, it flows. God still touches my heart. I just have to be receptive to it. Once I calmed down yesterday, sat down with all the other busyness that went on this weekend, sat down to prepare the message, I had it in 2 seconds. Hadn't even opened the Word. Bless you. And it was there and it poured out. I can truly see a different way God is moving in my life with these messages, but the Holy Spirit is bringing them in a different way, different avenues, situations, and circumstances. And it amazes me that God uses me as much as He does. And I know that part of that is because I'm so receptive. That draws me closer to Him. So yesterday, as I sat down to prepare the message, received the Word from the Lord, you know, I had it written in 45 minutes. Praise God. It would have been, if it had been 45 hours, I still would have been happy. You know, it just came. Sat there, opened up, prayed, typed, composed. So, with that, God brought it in abundance once again. There was a lot on my heart yesterday. A lot of thinking, a lot of analyzing, a lot of overanalyzing, a lot of struggling, understanding, and just things on my heart. This message that God has placed within me to continue to strive, to preach, to do better for God, that 2012 be the year that we do better for God. Over and over again, you're never going to hear me not say it. If I have to say it every message, do better for God. So deep and so powerful and so much a part of my spirit right now, that desire to stress that to everybody, that now is the time. Cut it out. Quit screwing around with your future, with your eternity. Do a better job for God. Of course, today's message is continuing on that same line. But like I said, yesterday was a very difficult day for me. It was filled with a lot of thought, a lot of reflection, a lot of reflection. And it led me to a few things, and it had me really thinking, and it had me really wondering, and it had me, and overabundantly had me wishing. Well, as my dad always said, wish in one hand and poop in another and see what fills up faster. But the biggest question on my mind and the biggest question on my heart, a couple questions I should say, is why don't we take better care of ourselves? Why don't we do a better job for God? Why do we continue to sin against the Lord? Why do we continue to treat our bodies as a den for sin? Our message today is called Take Better Care. Why do we continue to allow our bodies to be a den for sin? Sin keeps us in bondage. the sin that we are in, the sin that we commit, we are in bondage to it. You can name it. Anger, pride, lust, whatever. It has a name. And if that's the sin in your life, you are in bondage to it. The word tells us in John 8, 31 through 34, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If you know the truth, it makes you free. It doesn't set you free. It makes you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of that sin. You are in bondage to your sin. The word tells us that our bodies are a temple. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. They're not yours. Your body is a temple. Your body is a temple for the Holy Ghost. And you are not your own. Do we remember these scriptures when we do as we please? When we overeat because we can? When we consume alcoholic beverages because we can? When we inhale nicotine because we can? When we use different forms of hallucinogens because we can? Do we think about these things? Do we think about our body being a temple for the Holy Spirit? Do we think that we are not our own? I don't think many people say, oh, it's not me. This isn't my body. This is God's body. I don't think I've ever heard that in the secular world, ever. You might hear it in church sometimes, but you're not going to hear it out there in the streets. Yeah, because this is what God told me to do. Shoot up. Why not? I don't know about you, but the only shooting up I do is the Holy Spirit. Of course we don't. We don't think about these things. Why? Because it's our body. Because it's our right. My body, I can do with it what I want. Really? What did I just tell you? Right? You're not your own. 1 Corinthians 6:19. It's there. So let's get it straight. The only right that we have is the right to choose between correct or incorrect. That's the only right you have. It's the only choice you have. Good and evil, right or wrong, truth or a lie, truth or sin, sin or not sin. That's your only choice. It's called free will. And the Lord allows it. But it's his choice that we choose him. That's what he wants us to do. His ways. God's ways. Be that temple. Reflect the light of God that's within you. But do we? I've even said it. Is my sin showing? Defiling the temple happens in many, many ways. Gluttony, pride, lust, greed, apathy, wrath, envy. They're called the seven deadly sins. Let me read them again. Gluttony. pride, lust, greed, apathy, wrath, envy. They are just that, sins. When sin enters our bodies and our minds, God is pushed out. The word tells us that you can't serve two gods. You will either love the one and hate the other. Well, that is what you will do. Love the one and hate the other. You can't serve two. You can't serve God and man. You cannot serve God and man. When sin enters our body, God is pushed out. The devil takes a hold and allows our thinking to turn from godly to worldly. God tells us to continue to walk in his strength. The world tells us, who you kidding? It's your body. Do what you want. God tells us that we're called to forgive and love our enemies. The world tells us, how they did you wrong, you do them wrong. Those seven deadly sins are his tools. Those are the tools of the devil. But we know, but we that know God know that we are supposed to take better care of ourselves than that. We are supposed to take care of ourselves better than that. And that was the biggest question on my heart yesterday, is why? Knowing these things, knowing the damage that you're doing to your body, why do you keep doing it? Why do I continue to use this as a weapon to hurt others? The words that come from my mouth. The Word of God tells us that the Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. It can be used to glorify, or it can be used for good or bad, depending on how it's received. Our words have impact. God's words have impact on us. Our words have impact on other people. And the words that we choose have an impact. Good or bad, for hurt or to glorify, they still have an impact. Intentional or unintentional, whatever the end result is, it still has an impact. I'm called to glorify God, to do better. And I fail more often than not. Oh, it's all easy to do here from the pulpit, from the microphone. It's easy to do when I'm listening to my gospel music at work. It's difficult to be Christ-like in a secular world. It's difficult to not take vengeance into your own hands when somebody does something wrong, to get angry and to lash out, to not turn to the gods of this world, but to trust in the one and only true God, because he provides all our needs. The devil is good at what he does. He knows how to get to you. Why do we continue to do bad for God? Why do I continue to overeat? Why do I continue to lash out with my words? Why do I continue to not speak at all and not communicate, hurting those around me? Bringing my will into my life and forsaking God's will. Those of us that know God know that we are supposed to take better care of ourselves. Even still, we continue in our sin. We continue to fail the Lord. We continue to be stubborn, a stubborn and rebellious generation. The word tells us in Psalm 78, "For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Is this what we've become? A stubborn and rebellious generation. I am my father's daughter. The biggest question that weighed heavy on my heart yesterday is why? Why, Dad, why would you continue to smoke those nasty cigarettes knowing what it was doing to your body? I sat with this man that the Lord has led into my life last night and finally broke down and mourned the loss of my dad last night. And we watched the memorial DVD, and every picture of my dad where he has a cigarette in his hand was a stab at my heart. Every single one of them. It's hard for me to not get angry about the hold that the devil had on him with those. The only thing that helps is knowing that in the end, he's with the Lord. But it led me to these things and to think about these things. Why don't we take better care of ourselves? So many people live their lives at an older age with regret, wishing they had done a better job. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a stubborn and rebellious generation. I want to do a better job for God. Does any of this sound familiar? Does any of this sound like you? Does any of this, can you relate to anything that I'm saying here? The thing we have to remember, and there is hope, abundant hope, is that our deliverance comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. In James 4, the word tells us, and this should give you hope, this should give you strength. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. God can deliver you from any affliction. He can deliver you from any sin that is controlling your life, that has you in bondage. He did to me. Praise God. Delivered me in my kitchen as I prayed, stood right there and slayed me with the Holy Spirit. And said, that's it, you're done. Delivered from a food addiction, lost 75 pounds. Is the temptation there? Most certainly. But the devil brings that in. And I'm sorry, but I'm bought and paid for with the price. The devil has no power here. Do I slip? Most certainly. I am not perfect. I will not be perfect until I am with the Lord. It's still a mighty work that he's doing in me. But my hope and my desire and my dream is to walk a closer walk with God. Because I know that if I draw nigh unto him, he will draw nigh unto me and he will lift me up. You can be delivered from anything. Anything. So let me tell you, think of Christ the next time you do whatever it is that sin that's in your life. The next time you take that hit on that cigarette, think of Christ. He's in you. Choking. Because you're filling your lungs with something that cannot is not supposed to be there. The next time an alcoholic takes a drink, think of Christ. He's within you. He wants to be there. He wants a home in your life and in your heart to push all the other stuff away. The ugliness, get rid of it. When you allow the light of God that is within you to fade, you allow room for darkness to grow. What dwells in the dark? Sin. If there is sin within you, the light of God is not there. The light of God comes within and shows everything. Light reveals everything. Nothing can hide in the dark. It reflects it all. Get rid of the sin. Strive. Draw nigh unto God. If you are weak, pick up your Bible. Ask God to deliver you. He did me. If he can do it for me, he can do it for you. And don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to discount anything, because there are addictions that are very difficult to kick. And for me, my difficult addiction to kick was food. The bad thing is, I still need it. You don't need cigarettes. You don't need alcohol. You don't need hatred. You don't need lust. You don't need envy. You don't need wrath. You don't need apathy, which is laziness. You don't need those things. They can be removed from your life. You have to draw closer to God. That's the only way I did it. 2.5 hours a day. Every day. Even after being on this pulpit, going home at night and studying. It didn't stop. You want to know how I was delivered? That's how I was delivered. God put that overwhelming desire in my heart to draw closer unto him. And if he did it for me, he can do it for you. The word tells us in Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That desire. Galatians 5:22 says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Do a better job for God. Take better care of yourself. And start today before it's too late. Today is the day. Start it today. Amen. That's the word. Does anybody have any questions or anything to add? If all hearts and minds are clear, we can stand for dismissal.